He can hear us? Well, he's kind of a guru of healthy eating. Maybe he... Can you hear us?
Testing, 1, 2. Yeah.
Why is he here?
He's here for... So, this is how I met Meg. Him and Meg are friends.
Oh, okay, cool. I just always like to act like I'm intimidating him. Why is he even here?
Right.
Because, you know, I could...
I don't think he's easily
I could totally
intimidated.
Take him.
And then your volume is here.
Oh, geez, we need music, don't we?
And
do you have some?
I don't have anything offhand. I can grab something real quick.
And then I think this is also if you need to cough.
Yeah, because you don't want to go into the microphone. That's just plain rude.
What if you just accidentally sneeze?
Right.
There's not an accidental sneeze button.
There's not?
Is there actually an accidental sneeze?
I think you know when a sneeze is coming.
I mean, a sneeze just doesn't happen by accident.
Do you have Kleenexes? Do you have Kleenexes here?
Does Christy not have any over there?
No. Do you have to have this right in front of you? Yeah,
or
you
can
need
you
to talk right into it.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jason will direct you if it does.
You want to use my slave? No. That's why we do it up in the hills. Well, you just use our fucking slave.
Stop.
We're not supposed to say fuck?
You can help it.
Since when?
Hi, she's like
she's the queen of.
She's the poster child for contradictions, right?
Do you listen?
Spangle to the rescue, ladies and gentlemen.
He's a.
That'll be Spangle.
Stalker is not the best word.
Were you listening? How are you listening in there? Oh, pre-delay.
Yeah, he says it's like Josh listening in there.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. He's got the same feet.
So we shouldn't talk about Spangle then, I guess.
I told Spangler I was getting my hair cut.
Did like you say Spangler? Today.
Is it Spangler?
Spangle. No, it's Spangle.
Spangle. Spangle.
There's no...
Like Spangle.
But I like Spangler.
Right. I thought his name was Spangled for the longest time.
You thought it was what?
Spangled.
Oh, Spangled.
Like
I just
the
found
past
out.
Tense of
like a
word?
Past tense Spangle?
Yeah, you Star Spangled Banner. Right? That's what I thought.
No, I don't think
that's
he's
you
the,
are the best.
He's the leading foremost authority on the libertarians.
Is
I just
he?
Found that out last night. I'm not sure if I can be his friend. Not that I'm clear about what a libertarian is, but I don't like the sound of it.
I don't think
him.
You're clear about what you are politically.
I don't. I know. I'm 90% know what I am.
Mm-hmm.
I know what a Democrat money. Is. I know what they look like, and I know what a Republican is, and I know what they look like, but I'm not sure about
you
libertarians.
You know what they look like? Is
That's
that what
right.
you said?
Yeah, what they look like. Hang on. I got to do some breathing.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Let's be serious. Why do we keep doing this podcast if every time I come in here, you're ready to punch me in the face?
I'm not ready to punch you in the face.
It was close.
You could just be nice once in a while.
I am
That's
nice.
All. Once in a while.
I am nice.
Hi, I'm ready to go pick up the dog. Well, why the fuck are you calling me? Well,
I did not say that. I said, go feed your fucking dog. That's what I said. That's what I said.
I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air. Our ex-friend.
Our future friend.
No, our ex-friend. I emailed him twice and he has ignored me twice.
Don't you have to be friends before you're an ex-friend?
Maybe I assumed a little bit too much on my part. This is Mike Doty.
I've been exploring Mike and I don't recall this one.
It's an album called Circles, and these are a lot of his songs he's done in different ways. And this is St. Louis is listening. Turn it up.
Wow, you don't use words like that. St. Louis is listening.
Pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Hi, welcome to the Off the Air podcast. Thanks for downloading it. it's the Bickersons.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am well. I too am well.
Good.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Chick.
Have you done a power move? Let's do it. Let's all do a power
She's
move.
She's on
right
this
now.
Wonder Woman power move. I don't know what her deal
no.
is. It doesn't work.
No. Well.
Or is this the power? Is this Wonder
I started
Woman,
watching TED Talk. I watched 27 TED Talks yesterday.
Aren't those like an hour long?
No, they're like 10 minutes.
Oh, I thought they were
Some
long.
Of them are long. Not okay. really. But I watched the one I just randomly. What a great segue to talk about our guest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We were talking about Meg and I. Meg, do you do an introduction? How do you introduce yourself? When you do talks.
Do you do talks?
Yeah, I do talks.
Okay.
It's going to be way different than anything you've had on here. Guarantee you.
That's great.
Okay.
That is good.
All right.
Yeah, I could use a little
different.
All right. Different. So what I want you to do right now, before I tell you anything that I do.
Son of a bitch. Do your students cuss like that?
No.
And shit like that?
No. Okay. Is sit up tall.
Sit up tall.
Close your eyes.
Close my eyes.
And start to focus on your breath.
Oh, it's scary in here.
No talking.
Oh, no talking.
Mm-hmm. And start to breathe in with each inhale something new. I'm someone new here you've never had. And on your exhale, let go of something that's no longer serving you. And continue just to follow your breath as I start to read a quote to kind of put us all on the same page. So the good you find in others is in you too. The faults you find in others are your faults too. To recognize something, you must know it. The beauty you see around you is your beauty. See the best in others and you will be your best. Give to others and you give to yourself. Appreciate beauty and you will be beautiful. Admire creativity and you will be creative. Love and you will be loved. Seek to understand and you will be understood. Listen and your voice will be heard. And this was by an anonymous writer. So again, keeping your eyes shut, continue to come back to the breath if you lost it. Again, really breathing in something new. In a way, maybe whatever it took for you to get here today. And slowly, when you're ready, open your eyes. So what just happened right there is maybe the craziness of the morning, maybe my energy for the morning was different than what yours is, and now we're kind of on the same page. You've kind of calmed down. You're more in that yoga mentality, and you're ready to go. So a lot of times when I do lectures, that's how I start. So that way we're all...
You know, sitting here thinking and listening to you talk like that, and I don't really concentrate that much. One thing I've realized is I don't concentrate that much on calming down. I don't, because the morning is what my mornings always are. And some mornings it's really hard, and other mornings it's just a little hard. But, and then I don't know. After all these years, I still don't know how to come out of that. Something is required of you right now, and you need to come up with that. And
I think
it's tiring.
It is. It is really tiring. I feel like we are in a chaotic mess a lot of times. We don't know how to calm down. We're overstimulated.
Yep.
You know, not saying that you can't be on your phone and you can't watch TV and you can't listen to the radio or any of that, but we're always bombarded with stuff. We're always bombarded with noise and sound and conversation and everything to keep us so busy that we don't have that stillness. We don't have that time to slow down.
Right.
We don't have that time to listen to what our inner voice is really saying. And so we get misguided. We start taking wrong exits and detours in this game of life.
And misplaced anger. And
yes.
Stuff like that.
So, yeah.
Namaste.
Namaste.
I mean, how do you get, I mean, obviously that's a very nice relaxing, you know, you kind of get the breathe in the good, get out the bad. Well, some people need to vocalize themselves to get out the bad, you know. How do you get them? I mean, because that's a completely opposite way of relaxing. How do you talk someone into going, okay, this is the better route to do it?
I mean, before you speak out loud to someone, I think you do need to have that little chill time. And it gives you that time to respond versus just automatically react. A lot of times when we're angry with someone, you just automatically want to tell them your two cents. But if you slow down, think about your words one more time, and then see if it's really worth saying, then, you know, things might come out a little bit more pretty than what they have.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I mean, people need to vocalize things too. It's not all about keeping stuff bottled up and then, you know, exploding.
Well, I thought this was going to be about exercising.
Well, it is too. It's a little bit of everything.
You have to exercise your brain.
If you want me to go in, I mean, I don't know what all you guys want me to do, but if you want me to go in more of how I start lectures, like if I were to lecture to, like when I lecture at Butler or whatever, I can kind of explain to you more of how Mango Fuel, which is my company, works, if that's what you
want. Mango Fuel?
Sure. So when you... Mango Fuel. Like, so... When they introduce you, or before you introduce yourself, what do you say? I'm Meg.
Yeah, I'm Meg, owner of Mango Fuel. And I really, actually, I don't tell them what I do yet.
No, you still don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't tell them, because when you tell someone what you do, they automatically start to stereotype. And they either want to hold back their questions, or they're like intimidated by you, or maybe they're one-upping you. So if you don't tell them, they're wondering. They'll listen a little bit more. And so I bring them on the same page with this first, energy level, that's important. And then I start going through and asking questions. So I take inventory questions. I've worked in kitchens before. I've worked in offices before. And if you're going to fill out paperwork to figure out what you need inventory-wise, you have to figure out what you have, right? Because if not, you're going to order too much of one thing, or you're going to run out of something else. So with Mango Fuel, there's fuel tanks. And so what are the fuel tanks? There are several fuel tanks. So you can have fuel such as food, you know, that's nutrition, whatever you're putting into your body that you're eating that's going to replenish your cells and everything. There's also fitness. So it can be anything. It's not just running. It's not just weightlifting. It's not just yoga. It's a balance of everything. But most importantly with that, it depends on what you like. Because if you don't like doing it and you're doing it every single day, well, you know, the chances of you quitting are higher. There's also your spiritual connection, your connection to something larger than you, connection to the world, your purpose, your passion, whatever that may be. And then relationships, with family members, with your friends, with your significant other, and most importantly with yourself. Because if you don't have that relationship with yourself, then, you know, everything else is not going to be as strong either, because you have to be whole yourself first before you can give to someone else. So, a lot of times what I do is have people take inventory of where they're at in each of those fuel tanks to see to see how you are. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you low? Because when you run out of gas in your car, when you don't have fuel, you end up on the side of the road. There may be symptoms. Your light may be coming on. I still do this, and it's a reminder to me every single time. You know, where do I need fuel at? So, you know, if I'm... It, like you said earlier, if you are too all over the place in the morning, maybe you need some chill out time. Maybe
I thought you did that in the morning on the way to work. You don't do that?
On the way to work?
Yeah, on the way to work. Oh, you need it after is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You listen to gangster rap on the way into work.
Oh,
right?
I get angry. Yeah. I get stuck with a ball bat, stuff like that.
Right. But it's more after, you said, whenever you just feel kind of all over the place.
So.
Oh,
yeah.
I got perfect stuff for this. This is good.
Well, like today, I sat myself up for failure because there was an X number of time that I could do something, and it kept getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
And your heart rate's like...
Yeah, and then I just realized... Well,
but he keeps thinking in his brain as he's watching the clock.
I can always do
it. Worst case scenario, worst case. But it's not worst case scenario with him. It's this is the scenario, but it's everybody else's worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Instead of him going, best case scenario is
I get back here at 11:15, but that's
right. But that would have been fine. You're staring at the clock still.
Yeah, I know.
Why?
People, you two especially, are sick and tired of hearing me complain about how I am. And I'm tired of complaining.
Right.
I just want it to be better now.
Right.
And it's not.
Is it better than it was 6 months ago?
Yeah, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the time, yeah.
Okay.
You know?
But what are you... So you're saying that you need something to decompress after anything. Anything,
well,
whether it's the show
and any little
or
thing,
a conversation.
Any little thing goes wrong, and there's any problem, I just come down on myself like...
you beat yourself up.
Very,
like a punching bag.
In a very,
let me defend his situation.
Complete...
no one understands what the four of them do in here,
no,
really.
Right.
You know, Letterman
especially
and Leno and those guys...
When
they
one's
get,
listening,
they
when
get
one's
all
missing.
They get all the headlines, and
right.
they have an hour-long show a night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With a lot of help.
Right.
The four of them maintain some conversation and entertainment for 4+ hours a day.
Right.
I sit in here with them a lot. Just listening is exhausting.
It's exhausting, I'm sure.
To actually be one of the players in it is something totally different. No one outside of this room understands right. what they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough thing.
Yeah. So.
So he's set up for. Oh, he's already in the hole. Come 10:30.
Yeah, you know? You know what I mean.
You know what? He's given so much. It is. You know.
But yeah. And it wears you out. I don't know why I was thinking about this on the way over, and just how my whole attitude over the years, once I found a way to slow down, has helped. Because I'm a competitive person. I like to go. I like to move. I want things now too. But patience is huge. And
I'm patient. That's
but what I was my example I was thinking of earlier today on the way over. I was a cyclist in college, and you know, you train all year for something, and you have your coach and just a big support system, and your three other riders are with you, and you're gonna about ready to compete together as a team. Well, the week of, there's a lot more anxiousness, a lot more nervousness. You start thinking, oh, I could have done more here. Oh, I should have done more hills. Oh, my sprints. Oh, maybe I should have eaten this. Whatever. You start getting in your head. If you continue that on the day before, you're not going to sleep very well. That happened my first race. You continue that the day of, you're in your head the whole time you're riding, so it kind of negates all the training you've done that entire year.
Yeah.
You know, because you're thinking, I'm thinking, oh, how about if I drop the bike? How about if I don't catch the exchange? How about if I get beat in the sprint? I'm already beating myself up. I'm not even on the track yet, you know? And so if you think about what you're actually doing when you're on the track and that other stuff isn't happening, you're present, you're on your bike, you're moving your legs. Start there, okay? You know what I mean? You're in here. You got here to work. You know how to talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't worry about all the other stuff, because when you start doing that and comparing and worrying about all the worst case scenarios, you're going to be creating that reality, because you're going to start messing up. You're going to start messing up because you're not focused on what's happening right now.
True enough. I mean, there are mornings where I don't say anything.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing, is to be present.
We're learning that in yoga.
Right now we are, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's the...
It's to be completely present.
It's the past, it's the future, it's...
Yeah, all those
but
things.
But you hear that, and I used to be one of those people who's like, yeah, I don't have time for that. But how much time do you spend being in your own head, beating yourself up for stuff that's not even happening? What a paradox, right?
Like 99% of the time, I am beating myself up for stuff that hasn't even happened.
We have fought, but I can't imagine the fights that we've had in his head that I wasn't even a part of.
But you always win.
Even in your head?
In my head.
Victory.
That's right. The victory. No, I have let myself down.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's where... forgiveness. Like, you have to, don't shake your head. You have to forgive yourself for what maybe you didn't do the first time the right way, or maybe the way that you think you could have.
I think the first time is the key word there that you just said, that key phrase, first time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. And accept where you're at right now. Because if I, for example, when I teach yoga, and she takes my class on Wednesdays where there is a little bit more energy. The group knows more. And yes, there's new people that come in too. I mean, you picked up easy right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I'm natural.
That's right.
pretty much does it all.
You can't prepare all the time for what you think that your class is going to look like, because you're going to have new people come in, and you don't want to make someone feel like they aren't a part of it
right. And
not there. So you have to bring everyone in, and you have to accept them. That's where we get an acceptance, where they're at. So you have to accept yourself for where you're at right now. Despite if it's where you want to be, that doesn't mean giving up, though. There's a difference.
Oh, that give. Tell me about giving up now. No, I've let myself down a lot, and I have trouble forgiving myself. And you know, I mean, it's just the old
and the comfortable places to continue beating yourself up.
Yeah, and that's what I know, and that's what I think I should be doing. That's what my role model showed me how to do, and.
Yeah. Did your role models ever forgive you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So that's a big deal.
I was in the way. And I thought we were going to do exercise. That's what I thought. I thought we were going to lift some weights.
But you know
jump
what?
Some rope
this,
is what
this
I thought.
This just shows, though, it doesn't matter. This is what I tell a lot of my clients. This is what I tell a lot of my classes. This is what I lecture about. it you have to work from the inside out. I was someone that always worked from the outside and forgot about the inside. And if you don't do that, you're going to continue to create the same problems over and over and over again.
Yep.
The hardest part is working from the inside out.
And I know everything. I've seen it. I've read it. I've memorized it.
I know. And that just shows like you have to put it actually in action.
It's like I'm trying to learn how to jump rope. I've got a rope. I've got my feet and my arms.
Is it kind of like you have a bag and you have it the wrong way and you need to completely kind of pull and reverse it?
Yeah.
So, okay, to help him out, you said you were the other way.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of things did you used to do that you had to get over? I mean, did you...
Okay, so you guys don't know what my background is.
Nothing.
So I'm a health-based chef. I'm certified in turbo kick, spin, yoga, a personal trainer. I'm saying this just to give you an idea, and I'm going to pull my point back in.
Where's the cook and the food part coming
from? I'm a health-based chef. Also studied nutrition. I have a biology background. Was going to be in dental school. I mean, I studied all these different things in the health realm was, okay, if I learn this, I'm going to heal this part of me. I'm going to have everything that I want. Okay, that didn't work. I'm gonna do this. And strangely enough, the thing that helped me the most was the thing that I had no interest for, and that was yoga. I went to New York. I moved to New York to kind of pursue my passion, my dream. And used to take yoga before culinary school every day.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only one that would walk in and be like, namaste. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is freaking out and stressing out, and I could have cared less. Like, I cared, but it didn't stress me out like they did. And I really found true acceptance on the mat. I started opening up in places. I cried in yoga class, you know. And it's more than the physical practice, which is why I went to yoga in the beginning, because I thought, you know, I'm really not flexi-bendy. Maybe I do need some of this. And you start to open up in different ways from different teachers. And not all yoga is the same. Like the way that I learned, they do like a Dharma talk or a motivational quote or something at the beginning of class. And that part always spoke to me. It wasn't necessarily something that they had written. It's something that they had found. And I always really connected with that. So now when I teach, I actually write. Found out I was a writer. And I write and then I kind of thread that throughout the class.
Mm-hmm. A topic or a theme, mm-hmm. and then the music is associated. Like yesterday was spring cleaning.
Yeah, we did spring cleaning of the heart. So, and our breath was our vacuum. That just came during class. I was like, I like that. But I mean, really, to accept, you know, giving winter its time. It's over. Your past. It's over.
That was a bad winter. Whew.
See, but you can take that as your life too. It's over. Now you have spring. Things can blossom if you let it. But if you're stuck in winter, nothing's going to blossom. So, you know, you have to make sure that that ground is fertile, it's ready, that you're nourishing it too. The more that you harm yourself, if you self-sabotage yourself, whether or not it's poor food or just not using your body for movement, or if you're in bad relationships with family and friends and yourself and whatever, it's just creating toxicity in your body. You know, you're going against your body. You aren't on the same team, you're opponents. Crazy, right?
Yeah, but what I keep thinking in my head is I know all this, and I feel, am I the one that's supposed to get help today? I thought everybody else was.
It's your
get
podcast.
You're the leader. I just keep looking over here, but I'm talking to all of you.
I'm tired of hearing it,
mm-hmm.
of how bad I've got it and how sad I am sometimes.
From yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and from whoever I want to share that with. I mean, I'm tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's when she said that she did something that ended up being her passion and she didn't plan on it. So my brother's going to this yoga class and he's like, you and the kids should go with me. And like,
that's the same thing I did.
Yeah, like it sounds fun. And my daughter and I have done the videos for years. Like we have a game called yoga pretzels and just all kinds of stuff. And then I was like, yeah, we're on spring break. Let's go. Well, we're going to go. And we went. And at one point there was four of us in the family. No, there was five of us. There was Aunt Susie and then both of my kids and my brother and I all in the same class.
Mm-hmm. And I look up and you guys don't know what this is unless you've done yoga, but at the very end you lay back in a pose called Shavasana and it's just you're laying down.
Ooh, I like that.
It's corpse pose. Yeah, and right? You're in corpse pose. And yeah. I look over and they're all holding hands.
Oh.
Yeah. And I just, my heart was like smiling.
He wasn't holding hands, was he?
No.
No. My brother wasn't holding hands.
That sounds about right.
No, but so I started going and I was like, well, I'm going because if my brother knew that I didn't work out in the last 2 weeks and I got to do something, he would be mad. So I was like, I'll just go to yoga. And I went to yoga and it's not even about the workout anymore. Like, and this is, I've only been 5 times. But it's just, it's a place to literally be out of my head. And I'm not out of my head all the time. And there's sometimes where it'll be a couple minutes and I'll go, oh, I was out of my head. And then I'm back in, you know, because I'm celebrating it. But it was a couple of minutes that I wouldn't have had before.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun because there's times during the class, I like people to set an intention during class. Like, what do you hope to get out of this class? Not what do you hope to get out of your entire yoga practice? Not that you want to turn into a pretzel. But just out of it today, is it that you want more peace of mind? Is it more that you want just to move your body? Is it more that you want to hear something that connects you to who you truly are? I mean, or let go of something. And when the practice gets more difficult, I tell them to remember their intention. Because when life gets harder, what do? We throw our intentions out the window. We're like, screw this. I give up. I'm done.
There you go. Now you're speaking my language.
Stomping on this, you know. But that is when yoga really comes to life. You know, that's what I found. The biggest things in life that I've gone through is when my true yoga practice took over. Because yoga is not about the flexibility. It's yoga's union with yourself, union with something higher than yourself. And, you know, that's why at the very end of our practice, I have them write down a goal or a dream or maybe a habit that they want to get rid of, too. And that's something that I do in my own life, and I know it's very powerful. You know, 94% of people that write down their goals every day, it usually happens. Most of us don't do that.
I don't do that.
Because if you plant, that's what I tell them, if you plant, just like you plant a seed in the ground and you nourish it, you know, you don't forget about that seed once you plant it, or it's going to never grow. So the same way if you plant or write down your goals. For me, it's writing. Some people can think about it, but I think if you're physically writing it on paper, and then we have a mango fuel little bank, dream mm-hmm. bank that we put it in, that way you've given that attention. And if you do that every single day, you're bringing your attention back to it.
Mm-hmm. But in this is, I'm curious to know where you are with this now. When I'm so excited about this. And the more excited I get, the more down you come.
When?
Right now.
How do you know I'm down?
I don't even know you and I can feel it.
Okay. So I'm saying that I'm really excited about this. And I we had a little pep talk in Jimbo's office before the show. And I said, let's power pose. Let's do this. this is going to be great. A little Wonder Woman. And you were just not about it. And now I'm trying. I want you to get in here with me, and I want you to feel what I feel. And I can feel your wall getting higher.
And that's the thing. You're not. I thought for the longest time.
But you know, it doesn't have anything to do with anyone in this room.
No,
I don't like me. You know that.
But it does. That's where the connection comes in. You not living who you are.
I am living who I am.
No, who you truly are, we all miss out. Like, there's so many. That's one thing. That's with Mango Fuel. That's what I want to see more of. I love when I can talk to passionate people. That is my favorite thing in life because I get passion from them. It's an energy exchange. You know, it's just like if you're talking to someone that's upset all the time, you get some of that in exchange. So if you can... My motto, my mantra, my whatever is ignite your passion. So if you can ignite, everyone has something within them. You just have to find it. But if you're already telling yourself that you're so different than all of us or all of them or whatever, you're separating yourself. I did that for years.
I envy your enthusiasm for it.
I didn't always have that. I've always been excited, but I lived a dark period too in my life, big time. I suffered a pretty bad eating disorder of my own, and I thought I was the only one that had something like that in the world. And so when you do that, you close yourself off. You think no one else is going to understand. And so truly, when you start to really look at what you have and teachers help guide you and you're open, that's why I said in the beginning with your breath, you have to really... bring something new in. So when you're breathing, you're always already saying, oh, this is not going to work. Well, you know what I mean? Yeah. Then, of course, it's not going to work because you've shut it off from it flowing through you. I'm telling you, I walked into yoga and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like the yoga I took, they did mantras, which are not in English. So people are chanting stuff, all this stuff. So I was really outside of my comfort zone.
I've got the stuff.
He's got all the books. He's got all the books, journals.
I got the candles. I've got the chingies. I've got the, I got the, you know, the Tao.
But when you meditate,
Doesn't go well.
Why? What happened?
I meditate. I think it goes in reverse right now. Okay. How about this? Trying to get back onto a positive. When I meditate now, it seems to always go in reverse. I remember.
Then you're still in your head. You're supposed to be out of your head.
But you know what? That is what part of it, though. Because you have to feel in order to heal. And I think that's where you don't want to go yet. That's the part no one wants to go to because you have to do it by yourself.
I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying chick is this example, but I assume guys are, you know, Josh was, I want to bring some people with me, whatever. You know, a guy who's sort of hardened to going to yoga, mm-hmm. Once they go, how many does it take? A couple times? I mean, what's a good rule of
I always tell people when they ask me or with anything new, same thing with trying a food, and you're not sure if you like it yet, give it another try. Because the first time, of course, you're going to walk in and you're like, I don't know, I feel behind. Like, what are they doing? You're not getting the full effect of what yoga actually is because you're too wrapped up in doing it the way you think it's supposed to be rather than the way that your body is telling you it's supposed to be. So the more that you start to come, and I would say around 3 times is when it really starts to hit more. Even the second time that you come, you kind of know a little bit more of an outline of what could happen. I change classes all the time, but there's an outline for the most part of what to kind of expect. You can kind of get out of your head that way more. Like one class, we actually did a dancing part. I don't dance, but we did.
I'm a dancer. I'm born to dance, Jason. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it was fun to get people out of their heads that way because they were so tired because we did a crazy leg thing right before. So that you were so tired, you didn't care. You just...
That's true.
But it does... It takes just a couple times, I think.
I guess my problem today is, and I obviously, as you guys said, you could tell I was having problems. And I didn't know that this podcast today was going to be like this. I didn't expect to feel the way I'm feeling.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be... We're going to have... exercises.
Yoga,
I mean,
Meg.
I was joking about that, but we were going to stretch but of course it's going to be about
mental health
and consciousness. And that's where I still fall short. And I'm angry. I'm embarrassed.
But that's part of it. You know what? Like we all are so scared to show our emotions. Like, but until you get it out, like it's going to keep staying in there. I mean, that's what yesterday during class, I really talked about us thinking of, instead of just spring cleaning around your house, spring cleaning your heart. Bring stuff up that you need to get rid of that you're just carrying around. Like I used an example of spring cleaning and like when we pack for spring break, we pack sometimes, at least us women pack like 3 times the amount and you're carrying it all around, you get exhausted. You don't get exhausted till you realize you have to carry it around. So when you walk around life carrying all this extra stuff that you don't need to, when you can start to clean that stuff out, you like start to want to open up your arms and just lay there because it feels so much better.
Something like that.
It's probably a scary thought, though, to clean a lot.
Well, you gotta pick those boxes up, and of course you're gonna look in those boxes and see what you see, and
it's gonna bring back memories.
Sure.
And there's gonna be good memories, and there's gonna be bad memories, but that doesn't mean you're living there anymore, and that doesn't mean that has to dictate the rest of your life. And the coolest thing about yoga is, yes, most people I feel like come in the beginning for the physical practice, just like I did, but once they come and they see the way it is. Everyone in there is going through something. You have no idea what people have been through. You know, and when they're sitting in there and everyone's eyes are closed and they're setting their intentions or they're laying back in Shavasana, it is the most peaceful thing to watch. because people really are out of their heads. Maybe they get in their heads a little bit. It's practice to do that too. But they're truly being who they are. I mean, I dim the lights down for that purpose. I want it to be a warm atmosphere. I want, there's candlelight. It's not about, okay, who can do this pose? Who can do this? Who can't do this? You're just moving, you're flowing. I have to practice and be completely present in order to give a class too. So it's so much fun. I know, it's yoga. It's not for everyone.
No, I like I said, I would love to become involved, and I'm skeptical that it's going to change anything. But
what do you think's going to change? What do you think's going to change it then? If this isn't, what do you think will?
That's the question. I have no idea. But you know me in puzzles. But
you want to learn?
My Dharma talk for next week is about puzzles.
You should send it. We'll have to put them on the mailing list and send it to them.
I don't know what it'll take.
Do you want to know?
Well, yeah, of course I want to know.
Do you want to know? Are you completely comfortable where you are?
See, with yoga, you find an edge. It's kind of like you find the edge between comfort and discomfort. And you don't go too far into that, like, uncomfortable, because you may hurt yourself. And same thing with when you're dealing with emotions. You just kind of start to scratch off a little bit of what you can deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, that's enough right now. That's all I can do.
I can't imagine anything else that... I can't imagine finding out something that I don't already think about myself.
No, but it's ways to accept it, but not be in it again.
To know that was a former you, as opposed to you right now.
There was something that I learned. I remember exactly where I was at. I was in my bunk bed back in New York, living in this small little place. And I was listening to a meditation. I heard that you were kind of newer into meditation or trying it more. And you said that you feel like you're going mm-hmm. backwards more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a part, it was like a 21-day meditation challenge, and they basically told you to imagine yourself, you know, they try to do something with clouds or whatever, and you're up in the clouds, and you're sitting there, and you are connected to someone, whoever it is. They said someone that maybe has had a rough part in your past, someone that maybe you've caused a lot of harm to, or the relationship's not there, maybe the person's deceased. But they wanted you to imagine that person staring back at you. You weren't talking. You were just looking at each other. And, you know, to just, without speaking, you're giving yourself, you're telling this person more of either why you're sorry or why you don't like them as much right now or whatever it is. You're getting it out, even if the person's not physically there. And then once you get it all out, they said there's a pair of scissors right next to you. And so they wanted you to get the scissors out. And they wanted you to cut the cord. And for me, that was huge because I did it twice. It was so powerful. I had tears crawling down my face. And I had to, you know, I called a wedding off. I hurt someone pretty bad. And I had to forgive myself for that. I had to look at that person in the face again. It wasn't happening again. So it's okay to feel it. It's not going to feel pleasant, but it's not going to be worse than what it was the first time. And then you let it go. I may never get to talk to him again. But I was able to forgive myself and also forgive him. And so then I thought, oh, you know, this is awesome. I'm going to do it again with the other situation. So I did. And I made it as real as I possibly could. And I did it again with another situation. And it was really powerful. But you have to be open and, like, really put yourself in there.
Well, maybe I'm just scared to death. Maybe that's it.
I think you are. I think you really just are kind of scared to see what's in there in those little dark
it's probably the appropriate emotion. You know, you're going to be scared. You're probably going to be scared while you're doing it.
But that's the cool thing. What I was kind of getting into with the whole yoga group, all those people are coming, they're seeking, they're wanting answers, and they're not going to just get it from me. I'm just teaching them ways to get out of their own way, you know?
Yeah.
And so when you're in a room where everyone else is going through something similar, it gives you that energy. It gives you that hope, like, they're doing it. I can do this too. Even when you don't feel like you have it that day. That always really helped me.
Yeah. I'm clumsy. I feel like I'm doing this clumsily so far. Maybe I do need some instruction.
Mm-hmm.
It's odd. It's odd when you're learning or practicing yoga that you're, like she said, you get there and you're like, okay, this is going to build strength. I'm going to have arms like Meg in a year, you know, like just all these things. But then it's, I spend more of my day smiling now than I did 3 or 4 weeks ago. So that's huge. You know what I mean?
It really, and like, it's cool too, because I've even watched Jess with different people in the class when they come in. No one knows each other. Mm-hmm. They come in, this is still newer, and it's just like, hey, what's up? And I actually really have thought about, and I haven't even said this, I figured this out yesterday. I was reading an article. This guy that teaches in his yoga class makes everyone hug in the beginning.
Are you serious?
And I thought about it, and I love it, because when I moved to New York, I went 2 entire months without touching anyone. I didn't know anyone. And you realize how powerful a hug can be.
Human contact.
I guess.
Okay, this is terrible, but the first time I met Meg, my brother introduced us, and I was sitting, and I went to shake her hand, and she goes, I'm a hugger. And I was like, I'm not really a hugger, but I will anyway. And I was like, how insulting and awful.
And I didn't take it like that at all.
But it's just not you. I mean, you both know that it's not. I don't want to say that my dad never hugged us, but we're just not hugging people. We're not. He's the same way. He said there's an old lady at work that asks him every day, Josh, want a hug? And every day he goes, you know the answer to that, Gladys.
Get out of my face, Gladys. Are we going to do this, Gladys? Is that what we're going to do?
But, you know, Josh and I were even talking about that yesterday, just because I asked if
he's
ever
in the next room. I don't know if we explain that because we keep pointing, but he's in the next room.
But I asked if he ever hugs like his friend Amanda.
And then they're very close. They're good friends.
And he said, oh, no, it's kind of weird, like Jess and I hugging.
That's nice.
And like,
nice.
No, but it's just like that sister. And then I thought about it. I'm like, I really don't hug my brother that much. Like, he'd kind of be like,
what are you
why
doing?
Are you hugging me?
Yeah.
But like my parents, I do.
You know, they, I know them both pretty well. I don't know if you know that, Megan, or not. But they never really said hi to each other. It was always like one would walk up to the other one and then one would go, what? And the other way, what? Get out of here.
He said that's how we would greet each other. And it's probably true. And it doesn't, it's
but it
not,
works for them. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah. And that, like, everyone's so different. But I do know that human connection is something we all need.
That contact, yeah. Well, I have kids. I get to hug all the time. I get hugs whenever I want. You know what I mean? I know it sounds bad, but it's
you're like,
true.
Come here, hug me.
Yeah, come here. I need a hug.
But I mean, that you can think of that as a fuel tank too. Because when I was in New York and I didn't know anyone, in yoga at the very end we do something, not all classes do this, I do it, some people are very hesitant to be touched, but at the very end your senses are so heightened, you're laying back in Shavasana like you're in your bed, and I always say I'm going to come through and do hands on assist. I have this really good smelling lotion, I go like this in front of your nose so that you know that I'm there, you smell it, I don't freak you out,
right.
And then go through and like rub the top of your face behind your ear, your third eye, and then put your shoulders back. That touch is what kept me sane while I was in New York for a while, just from my yoga teachers. And there's so many people that walk around that never
have human
touch
contact,
anyone, not even a handshake.
Yeah.
You know, and that is so vital. Doesn't mean you have to be with someone physically, but why not hug people? You know, the guy with the free hugs that walks around New York? How cool is that?
That's different from the naked
sounds like
cowboy,
a,
right?
Sounds like
yeah.
A perv.
Okay,
sounds
good.
Like a perv to me. Perv.
Hug and a grab.
No, I think I might have intimacy issues. I mean, when I am intimate,
It's full on.
It's full on, but when I'm not, it's like you guys
on.
Said, everybody can feel my walls go up, and it's... I mean, Jess put it one day, well, I even sit kind of hunkered over in my own little
cave.
Like
he's trying to hide himself.
You need to, if you were talking about
TED
Talks,
did you watch
the one that,
that's what
about
I'm talking
the body
about.
Language?
And that's why I do this now.
So that's why
this.
I always say, that I wish there's a pose in yoga, it's my favorite, it's triangle pose or Trikonasana.
That's
if
my
you do
favorite
anything.
Now.
You do?
Yeah.
When you're so open, your arms are so wide, your legs are wide open. You could be stabbed in the front of your heart, in the back of your heart. Everything is open.
Everything is open and vulnerable.
But I feel like if you can live in triangle pose through life, like that's my goal. I want to be able to get rid of all the stuff that's preventing me from living in triangle pose. I love it.
Is that also known as the starfish?
The starfish?
I don't know.
No. Not like this?
I've heard some people sleep
like you're laying down like that?
Yeah. You sleep like a starfish?
No. I'm not. Well, Mike McRae was.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
I learned that I sleep in a yoga pose. The one on your belly and your legs up. Yeah. That's the one I learned the other day. She was like, some of you probably sleep like this. And I was like, oh,
I know.
Sleep
on your belly?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, if you lay on your belly and you move your knee up to the side.
Like you're like
one of my teachers just calls it splat pose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It feels so good. See, you're doing yoga. You don't even know it.
You don't even know it.
So I don't know. I don't even know where to begin.
Okay. Well, you had said earlier that when you leave here, it's very chaotic. You're instantly in your head.
Well,
right?
In my head. Yeah. In my head, it's always. If I'm not here or driving, I can kind of sort of get out of my head when I'm driving.
Because that's a moving meditation.
But if I'm, especially recently, it seems like it's gotten worse recently. And that's doubly concerning and frustrating because I thought I was, you know, you think you are making progress. It's like you think you've got this car all repainted and all of a sudden all these birds come by and shit on it.
But I think that that's also a good sign. It's always going to get worse before it gets better, and they say that too.
Well, it's bound to get better any minute then.
I got a huge wake-up call with that. You know, I said just a little while ago that, you know, I suffered from my own eating disorder for close to 10 years, ups and downs, lows and highs, trying this, trying that, which has made my background pretty good as far as different things I've got certified in, schooling and whatever. But I moved back from New York, and I thought I was fine. I thought I had really cured everything. I thought I was good to go. Then I'm coming back and I've changed so much, but my environment's the same. My friends are the same. I'm very different. You know, I found more who I truly was, and it's trying to adapt and make that all happen. Just a lot going on, trying to build my business. And one of my best fitness friends passes away within a month. Mm-hmm. I talked to her the day before she died, bawling my eyes out in Starbucks. I just found out she had adrenal cancer, and I knew that she had suffered from an eating disorder, and it was something she had tamed but never quite cured. I'd worked with her as a client, and I just didn't know what to do. Like, her last words to me were, Meg, I love you, and I want you to make Mango Fuel huge, and I want you to make me proud. And then she said, I hurt too bad. I've got to go. That was the last time I ever spoke to her. Day before she died. So healthy. I mean, from the outside looking in, she was healthy. But I think it was so much on her adrenal glands from bulimia, from purging.
Right.
And the ups and downs that initially it was that you never know exactly the cause, but that in my heart is what it is. And I know that part of what she really wants me to do now is to help people in that realm too.
Mm-hmm.
And my own eating disorder got bad right then. And it was like, here I am sitting in my car crying so hard because I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing right now, Meg, to myself? You just lost a friend to something like this. And here you're trying to go back in old habits. And then you feel like you just hit rock bottom and you don't know what to do. But then from there, magical stuff just started happening. I tried to pull my focus back in. I tried to do every little thing that I could. And it was like they were guiding me above. And, you know, I don't know the exact turning point when everything officially switched over. But, you know, that was a huge thing. I just kept thinking, she's not, because she was going to help me with this business now. Mm-hmm. She was going to be a part of this. So, yeah. Just kind of crazy. You don't expect stuff like that to happen.
But, well, that's like when Tim died. That's what I was thinking of when you were saying
I
that.
I guess if you go back to that, that probably, since you said here of lately, it seemed worse. A friend of ours died very unexpectedly.
And stupidly, selfishly, I didn't even remember as I was saying that Tim had died, like, you know, within the month.
This past month.
And I went over a lot of stuff. Like, I mean, he had a heart attack, which is what I was supposed to have had. And I've had a double bypass and the whole thing. And I'm convinced that he had what my father and I have, and my dad didn't get it fixed, and he died at 43, and I got mine fixed, but I'm alive. And
so maybe you have a little bit of that.
And I didn't get a chance to tell Tim that maybe you should go get this looked at. Not that he would have done anything about it, but.
Well, maybe that's your sign, though, to just start using what you have and doing your best for you each day and having him help fuel you from above. That's what I think of with Meg. That's what I lost my brother 10 years ago in a car train accident. You know, and I think about my brother fueling me a lot. Because I am doing this mango fuel love train. That's like my big project. I have a tattoo on my foot of it that I got on his 10-year anniversary of his death. And basically it's using mango fuel, but connecting people to exactly what they need. Doesn't matter if it's through me. Doesn't matter if it's through someone, you know, in New York or some one of my friends, someone I've connected with that I believe that they can help this person. And if you think of a train, they're always moving forward. They don't really move backwards. People hop on where they're at. You hop on where you're at today. And I want to connect people with the right sources, whether or not it's food, fitness, you know, cool people, passion, whatever, yoga, and you move forward. Like, I really want it to be this, you know, the OJ song, the love train. That's the background song. That's the song that's to it. And when you hear it, you can't help but smile and laugh. Like, my brother in my head is the conductor, and Meg, my friend that died, is the caboose, you know, and it's powered by everything that I really truly believe in.
I read something the other day that someone had helped another. It was a guidance counselor had helped a girl through a very trying time when she was a teenager, and she later found out that counselor was sleeping with another student. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so she felt like, oh my gosh, this woman had changed my life and done such good for me, but everybody is telling me how awful she is now. Mm-hmm. And then she said that after, you know, trying to deal with it in her teenage mind, you know, and now as an adult going, I'm choosing to remember her as good. And that's such a, for me and the people that have been in my life, that just reading this little article in the Indy Star the other day just changed it. Mm-hmm. Was like, I don't have to remember the people that have hurt me for bad.
Yep. No, it's true, because there's so much. I mean, we all go through something, whether or not it's, you know, with our parents, whether or not it's through siblings, you know, whether or not it's through relationships, you know, with significant others. And we either, you know, it can be anything. We're all going through something. And then it's when you see people. I met this guy once that had no clue who his parents were, either of them. He didn't know what his ethnicity was. And he has no clue. His reason behind health is because he doesn't have any type of anything to go based off of. Mm-hmm. My heart just sank. He's the most incredible person. And here he is. That's his reason for health, because he has nothing to look
back
on.
Yeah, no.
And I'm just
to look
like,
at. Yeah.
Mind blowing.
Yeah.
Another person who is working with people and stuff now grew up in all these foster homes, had a foster parent, not parents, but parent, and has made so many amazing relationships with different people through helping them. It's like you would never guess that they didn't have a strong relationship with their parents.
Right.
And we were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing. To me, that is so inspiring. I see that and I'm like, whew.
So maybe that's an option, is that you just choose to remember the good things about your parents. You laugh, but there's something good.
No, I've got a couple. Yeah.
Because this was something that really helped me through a really dark time for me, is when I got hurt pretty bad by someone, is that it's not something that you're doing. It's not. You can't blame yourself. No, hold on.
I don't know about that.
No, hold on, depending on what it is. But if someone is hurting you, it's due to a lack of love for themselves. They are taking it out on you because they aren't whole themselves. And when you can continue to see it like that, it helps so much.
We have one. You have one more thing that we have to tell Chick about that you think will help him decompress after a show.
Oh, yeah. You want me to do that right now?
Yeah.
Is it vodka? Liquor? Something like that? That's what I'm doing now. I don't know.
Okay. So this is something I've kind of created. I mean, it's not anything I created. I just call it something different. So instead of saying meditation, every time you say meditation to someone, they're like,
yeah. It's instant anxiety almost.
It's instant that, or they think it's too much hippie love or whatever, and then they just automatically put it down.
You know what? My meditation now is kind of scaring me, because what I've arrived at lately in meditating is not that pleasant when I'm going through it.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it's almost terrifying of the things that I'm remembering. And I don't know how you...
Do you always, when you do meditation, do you do it by yourself or mm-hmm. do you ever do guided?
No, I always do it by myself.
So you need a teacher. You need it guided.
I look under T for
just kind of like a flashlight. You're not going to go through a dark area and not have a flashlight. Your teacher can be your flashlight.
It's dark up here, baby. It's
so
dark.
So what I do, because sometimes when I put too much in my schedule or if I'm just all over the place, I have found giving myself, this is what I call it, naked time every single day for, and I'll set my alarm, I'll explain what it is, really has helped me. And so what that is you can be physically naked if you want to be, but that's not why I call it naked. Mm-hmm. You're naked of all of who you think you are, who your ego is telling you are, who the world thinks you are, who your past is telling you are, who your future is telling you are, and you are laying there. I like to lay. I feel like it's nice to be grounded. That's part of the naked time is feeling the ground, bringing you back down, especially when you've been all up in your head. Lay there. Close your eyes. Start to slow your breathing down. Set your alarm because you may fall asleep. And just practice not being anything to anyone. Because what you're doing is you're slowing down your nervous system. You're slowing it down to the parasympathetic versus the sympathetic. We're always going, going, going. And you're just being. You're naked in yourself. So if you physically are naked, though, you can't get up to answer the door.
Oh, that's true.
You know, you can't do anything. I turn my texting off. I turn phone off. That is my time where no one needs me. If they do, it can wait. Because I think it's the greatest gift that you can give yourself, to give yourself time just to recharge. I get more out of that sometimes than I do out of an actual nap.
And that's what I've always heard is that Jerry Seinfeld was interviewed and he said, you know how you feel
he has
transcendental meditation. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah. You know how you feel after you've had the great 8-9 hour sleep. And that's how I feel every day after 20-25 minutes of meditation.
It really, and everyone says at first when they start meditating, oh, I can't do that. My mind, I have a monkey mind. It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that. Meditation is trying to help you zone in and get used to that feeling. Like if things are getting really crazy in the outside world, to zone in and focus on what you need to focus on.
Right.
And it's powerful. It takes practice. But I really had help with these free meditation challenges. There's actually one going on right now, and there's one going on, I think, April 14th with two of my favorite people, Deepak Chopra, if you know who he is,
mm-hmm.
and Oprah. They paired up, and they are doing a 21-day meditation challenge. And basically, all you do, you plug in, you listen. It's like 15, 20 minutes.
Please tell me they're calling it Oprah Chopra.
I know. I love that.
Please tell me.
But this one is called Flow. The focus is flow. So I'm excited. I love stuff like that.
Maybe you should start there.
All right.
I'll do it if you do it.
I need something to hang on to today. Believe me.
In that way, though, too.
I feel like I'm rushing downstream.
Yeah. So if you gave yourself that, I don't know if it is 21 days or 30 days, but if you do it consecutively, if you guys all checked in with yourselves and said, hey, you meditate today, don't lie, you know, you know, and do it when you are the most frantic. Like for me, I always know I get really down on myself. I used to around a certain time of the day because I wake up at 4 a.m. And so around sometimes 1-2 o'clock, that's where my brain just feels like there's nothing,
right.
There's no creativity. So I start to beat myself up. That's when I need it. That's when I need that time just to chill, slow down a little bit, and then start back up again.
All right. Give me something I can do when I go home and want to crawl in the corner.
You're going to do naked time today.
I'm going to do naked time. Yep. I'm going to lay on my back.
Dog in the crate.
Mm-hmm. And just turn the phone off.
Set it for 20 minutes,
and I'm going to breathe.
You're going to breathe. If you need like chill music to get into it too, do that.
That's another thing is that it's when you go to Meg's yoga class, it's not
it's not what you stereotypically would think of as yoga. Like, we were listening to, was it Freebird?
We did, yes.
We started yoga with Freebird.
That was
yesterday.
The entry song. But this music's always different. And I was never someone that was really into music. I didn't grow up in a household that had lots of music. I mean, my mom would sing and stuff. So finding music for me within the past 3 years of really finding what I liked, not like in Runaway Bride where my music dictated the egg situation. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
It's
what
fun.
Didn't you talk about yesterday?
We covered a lot of ground after
was
yoga.
Was it 7 hours? How long is this class?
Like an hour. This is not during class.
No, this wasn't
after.
During class. This is after class.
Okay.
Because you just feel so open. You want to share everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good.
And that's the way I'm going to feel today after I lay down. This is going to happen. This is miraculous.
No, you got to get that out of your head. You got to be patient.
He needs to be guided.
Yeah, he does need a little guidance.
He needs someone to help him
Meg,
along.
This is your first new client. I'd like to introduce you to Chick McGee.
I will seriously, if you call me, I will call you and talk you through your first naked time.
I don't want to bother anybody.
See, there's another problem.
I'm serious.
I don't know if you caught that, but that's her job.
You guys don't know the behavior. Maybe you do a little.
I think I know.
A little.
I bet he knows, too.
He probably knows the behavior that is ingrained in my head.
I got an idea. But you know what?
Took you a while to get there, so it may take a little while to get...
One of his issues real easy? Mm-hmm. He wants help, but he doesn't want help.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a comfort thing in his not having help.
But I have a sassy side, and I'll make you shut up and listen to me.
Yes.
He's sassy.
Let's get it going here.
Sassy pants.
No, but I mean, for real, sometimes we all need a big kick in the butt to just say, listen, what you're doing's not working, so listen to me.
Mm-hmm. You know what? But sometimes it does... It's okay. You know, that's the maddening part about it.
But that's the thing. I think that is the maddening thing about it is that when you feel good, you feel good. And it's easy to feel good when you feel good.
Yeah.
But when you feel bad, how do you make yourself feel good?
I can't.
Yeah.
There's yo-yo diets. There's yo-yo feelings. It's life. But you can't have everything that comes at you in life.
I thought this was going to be a fun thing. I didn't think this was going to be a Dr. Will type
this was
thing.
Fun.
I wasn't expecting anybody crying.
I'm so sorry. I'm not sorry because this is the first day of the rest of your life. I'm not sorry. It's going to get better from here.
Well, it can't get any worse. I can tell you that.
What?
I haven't lost my job yet.
No, but there's. You know what? What did you say about yesterday? Today's not great, but you know what? I'm lucky, and I get another one tomorrow.
Yeah, you get to wake up the next day. If you really, and this is another one of those
I'm
things
listening.
That you hear, and you think, oh, you know, I don't need to talk about how grateful I am for anything. I don't have anything to be grateful for.
I don't have anything to be grateful for.
When you practice it, just like with meditation, and you practice saying, today I'm grateful for... You know, I got through work today.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I'm grateful for going and walking the dog. Today, I'm grateful I had a great conversation with someone.
Mm-hmm. It's so simple.
And if those aren't even something, then say, hey, today I'm grateful that I woke up. You lost your friend. Be grateful that you have today. That's what I try to think of, too. I try to think of that every single day because...
What if you feel guilty that you're here instead of him?
That's going to happen too. That means you just have to keep doing your best with what you have every day.
And I'm guessing that friend would tell you to get off your ass and go do something.
I know.
Don't worry about me.
That's right.
He'd put that boot right in your ass, is what he'd do.
Can I address Jess a little bit and what I'm seeing here short term?
And I don't know, Meg probably doesn't know this, but Jason and I worked in that little room together for about 5 years and we're close. We've known each other for a long time.
Okay.
And from what I can, here's two things. Okay. One, I want to be skeptical because I know her because she gets excited in short bursts of things.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I know. Well,
see, you know another 2 weeks. Yeah. 2 weeks is famous.
Is she past the 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've gone to five.
Okay. Uh-huh. So once a week. Okay. So that's good.
So that's good.
And the thing that she said that
you
struck
and Nitty.
Me was, and I think she would agree with me. A lot of times, let's say when she worked for the show on the tour, let's say a comedian was a jerk or just did something to say cross her in some way or another. Mm-hmm. She would hold on to that.
I would.
And up until maybe 2 months ago, that was still there. And a lot of times he knew it and it affected him.
Right.
But I can see that maybe you might let those things go. And they, that person did some good stuff. And mm-hmm. I want to remember him for that.
There's a thing that this kind of helped me. And it kind of sounds like that too. I don't remember. I think it's like an ancient thing that gets passed around. But where basically we're holding on to hot coal. This is your thing. Mm-hmm. I already know. This is your thing. It's my mm-hmm. thing. I don't know about you, Jason. Maybe it's your thing, too. No. But we're holding on to the hot coal, and we want to feel better, but we have to drop the hot coal. And until we drop it, we're going to keep getting burned. And so the more that you hold on to, mm-hmm. you know, whatever they say, they're not affected anymore. They probably don't even remember they said it.
Isn't that an Oprah thing?
Oprah thing.
Oprah said this. Have you heard this?
She was walking down the street in New York City or something, and she saw a person that she hated across the street.
She had hated them for years.
Hated them for years. Can't stand the sight of them. Looked over there, and she noticed, well, this person was laughing and seemed like having a great time with the person they were talking to. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Oprah said in her mind, she goes, well, how can that person be that happy knowing that I hate her? me hating her is not having any effect on her at all.
Isn't that crazy, though?
Yeah, it's true. It's so true.
Okay, so that was one, the two-week thing.
No, the two-week thing, and then
And I
held on to some things.
He's skeptical that I'm going to continue to do this, because usually I have 2 weeks. But I told Meg the other day.
I initially was.
You initially were, but I told Meg, I said, you know what, I recognize that I have a two-week behavior, but my 2 weeks are becoming 3 weeks and 4 weeks mm-hmm. and 5 weeks, and then that time between my 2 weeks is getting shorter. So this is a part of the practice. I haven't been health conscious or interested in my mental well-being. You know, I hadn't been up until probably 2 years ago, maybe. And now it's like, okay, I am 2 years better than I was 2 years
but
ago.
But I also, when we were talking about inspiration and being inspired by other people, too, mm-hmm. you've kind of told me, too, just seeing Josh a little act differently has kind of inspired you, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
don't call me out like that, Maggie's right there.
I know. But I mean, I think when you see someone close to you that's been going through sure. something and then all of a sudden things start to really change, mm-hmm. then you're like, okay, mm-hmm. maybe I'll listen.
Yeah, it's true. And I know that I still have a long way to go, but even just since yesterday, I used to write down 3 things that you're grateful for, that's what you do before you go to bed. And I did. And one of the things I wrote down that I was grateful for last night was that I think Meg is not just in... She just wasn't put in my brother's life. She was put in my life, too. Mm-hmm. And then I also said I was really glad that my kids and I share the same sense of humor. Because, yeah. So it was just... And if you do... And I woke up being happy for those things that I wrote down.
Yeah, and then also, like,
it's
makes
like I was
blank.
Happy the whole time I was asleep. It was amazing.
Yeah, you're not, that's like, great, huh? having nightmares and stuff. You just let it go. For real. Because I had... Within the past 3 weeks, I've had some stuff happen that are just... Things that would have torn me to shreds 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, okay, yeah, I cried. I owned it. I cried like a boss. And then, you know, I let it go and took a shower. It's like time to pick yourself back up yeah. and get on with it. You're not going to live in that. You're going to have to figure it out.
We're just going to have to.
Okay.
He's going to have to see it to believe it.
Yeah,
we can talk it, but you
we
need
an infomercial.
Sitting you're gonna
here,
schedule.
Sitting here today,
you're gonna schedule
I see.
Your first
I hear you saying you're 2 years better. I hear all this, but sitting here today, I don't think any more of myself now than I ever have.
Then today it changes. Tomorrow you're gonna feel better about yourself than you did today.
Do we need to put you on a Meg boot camp, like, and not so, a mental
yes.
boot camp? Not a. I
no.
mean, I could put you on a real boot camp too if you want, but.
Yes, I think we need to do...
You have no idea how elusive and reclusive I can be when I want to be.
I had a couple things.
Yeah.
You said something about write down your goals for the day. Is a to-do list close to that, or do you have to, does it really need to be...
Okay, so mine's crazy. If you want to hear my ritual, like this might blow people's minds just because it's a lot, but... this is what
I'll... You get up at 4.
I get up at 3:57 and my alarm goes off.
I like and that.
No.
Numbers.
What?
I like
yeah, I love odd numbers.
Odd seriously, numbers. What time do you get up?
3:57.
No, seriously. What
no, seriously.
Okay.
And I mean, I would say within the past year, I've been doing this religiously every single day. And for me, it really has helped. So on a 3x5 card, this is what I started with. I write down my goals front and back as much as I can jam pack onto that 3x5 card. If you don't really have many goals that day, write bigger. For real. But like I want to just keep writing and writing and writing. The first 5 I always write down the same things. for me, just because it's stuff that I really want to focus on. And I'll tell you, inspire in spirit, because in order to be inspired, you have to be in spirit, flowing. Inspiration. The fourth one is Mango Fuel - Oprah over Meg - New Age. That's a huge goal of mine. Not to be Oprah, to be my own way of Mango Fuel and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is Heal My Heart and Spread It Wide Open. Because I feel like if each day I can live more in that triangle pose, then the better.
That's the one for me. So my heart is closed.
So if you can continue to do that. And then, you know, I write down like body goals. I write down business stuff, whatever. So that's one. And I fold it up and I put it in my jar, my Mango Fuel bank. And then another one I've written down for the past 6 months, one quality I want my soulmate. So I've done that. Another one I've written down, a compliment. I have to give myself a compliment every day, even when you don't want to. You wake up in that sour mood and you're like, it's gonna be a rough
one. It's 3:57.
Oh, you don't like waking up early, do you?
No, I don't mind it, but 3:57, come on.
But then the last one is for my business. Like, a lot of my business is part of my life too, but the last one I always put, you know, help direct me to write marketing or write connections or where I'm supposed to be. Help me be the best vehicle that I can be to make Mango Fuel go where it's supposed to be. And that's letting go and letting God. So that was another one. And then, yeah, that's part of my, I always read something in the morning too, but that just is what helps me connect. Cause that's a way for me to stay fueled when I have to fuel other people. At the end of the night, I write down the three things I'm grateful for.
So you do it in the middle of the day too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. These are newer things. So at 3:33,
good.
I do three things I'm grateful for at that time. I usually text it out. We can do a texting love train. I would love that. I would love to see what people are grateful for.
That would be good.
Or nice email text. Love train.
Yeah, I can't
or
wait
whatever.
For that not to happen. That'd be great.
Hey, I already do it. And then I say a quick little prayer then. And, you know, when people pray, I think sometimes everyone thinks it has to be really formal. If you're not formal, don't make it formal and be like, oh, God. Ooh. No, like, for me, it's writing. That's the way that I connect. So,
well, your little thing there kind of blows away my to-do list. Says, call mom.
But you can still put it on there. It's getting it out of your head.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, that's a lot of time. That's when I usually write things down. It's like, there's too many things. I got to get them out.
Yeah, because
there's
not
clutter
just like,
and something's going to get lost. That's mm-hmm. usually my fear. Something's going to get lost. I assume this is fairly common where you were talking about, you know, getting yourself out of your head?
Get out mm-hmm. of your head.
Get out of your mm-hmm. head. The shower is, I assume that's a common place, but man, I am so good at it in the shower. It's one of those things.
You're so good at what, Jason? Hang on.
No, it's also
getting out of your head.
I'm done with the shower and I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of great thoughts.
I think people are like that. That's why she said the driving is a form of meditation.
Driving really, like if
I'm. You can drive and go, I don't remember anything.
If I'm overly stressed out, or I'll go drive.
And if you like to sing when you're in the car,
he's a great singer.
That's why I always tell my evening yoga class I used to teach. I would always tell them, like, enjoy the music on the way home because you're gonna think that you can sing because you don't care anymore. You just turn it up and yeah.
Well, I tell you what? This is the first podcast of the rest of our lives. How's that?
Let's do it. Pinky promise.
Pinky swear. Okay. Pinky promise.
Okay.
Thank you, Megan.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for downloading the podcast. Tell your friends. It has been the Love Train. Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
Jason, as always.
I'm going to go hug Josh.
Get ready, Josh. Okay, here we go.